Well, hey there, everybody. We're back. Welcome back to X-Files Diaries. We haven't had a new episode in a while, but I do have an exciting announcement, and that's that we are going to be continuing the podcast for the foreseeable future, but with a new co-host. Say hi, Jen.
Hi.
So it's going to be myself and Jen doing the X-Files Diaries from, you know, for the foreseeable future. What do you think? Who knows? We'll see how long we can make this train run. Nick and Charlie are turning the reins over to me because, you know, what happened was, of the three of us, I'm the big fanatic. I'm the one who cannot let this go. And they can. They can move on and do other things with their lives and be in their happy and merry way. But I cannot. Can you, Jen?
No, absolutely. X-Files and life are one and the same for me.
Yes. And I feel like with Jen, I have found my people when it comes to the X-Files and obsession. So yeah, here we are. And we are going to continue moving forward.
Yay.
So real quick before we get going, I just wanted to say the changes that are probably going to be coming to this podcast. Obviously, we now have two female voices here. I am no longer drowning in testosterone, which I'm grateful for. So I can promise you things are going to be changing. Obviously, first of all, we're both huge shippers, right, Jen?
Oh, huge.
Huge, huge, huge. So if, you know, if that doesn't float your boat, which at this point in time, I don't know who you are, but then you know that maybe we're not going to be the perfect cast for you. But if you are a shipper and you're here for the MSR, you have found the right podcast.
Join our ship.
Yes. But also, we are both seriously obsessed with this show. And so it's not just going to be about that. We know the show up and down. We're very well versed on it. We know the mythology. We know all the plot lines. We know all that stuff. So it's not going to be just about the ship, but it will be definitely a huge part of it.
Yep.
So while we get started here, why don't you introduce us to yourself, Jen? Tell us a little bit. How did you start watching X-Files? How did it shape your life?
Let's see. Well, I started watching it from the very I shouldn't say the very beginning. It was season one, in 1993, way back in 1993. And I was in my early 20s, a newly married young woman. And I caught on to the X-Files about halfway through the first season, I think. I definitely remember watching Tombs. That's the first episode I can clearly remember in my head. I don't know why I didn't watch it before that. I can't explain what was wrong with me, but for some reason I was like, what's that weird show? I don't know. But then somehow it was like on, and it was like, oh, okay, now this is for me. So then, like, from the get-go, I was totally into it, totally a shipper right from the beginning. And it kind of slowly but surely started to take over my life.
Oh, and as it does.
As it does. And I started getting into the news groups, the Usenet news groups for the X-Files, alt.tv.xfiles, which definitely dates me. And that was like a whole other element to, like, that was when I first grasped the concept of fandom. That there are other people out there that are watching this at the same time that I am. And we're all squealing and getting excited at the same time. And people are writing really smart stuff about this show. And it just kind of brought my enjoyment of it up to a whole other level. So I was very into it.
It's really funny because I feel like this show did that for a lot. Like, for a lot of people, like, it kind of introduced them to the concept of this sort of shared experience. Because they had, you know, we didn't have DVRs. We didn't have, you know, you could tape the show, I guess, and rewatch it. But, like, they weren't produced with that in mind. So you had to talk to people and be like, what was that about? What happened? You know, it's funny. I'm getting ahead of myself because as people who have listened to this show from the very beginning know that I came in much, much, much later than you. Believe it or not, I came in like near the end of season eight, which should not in all. Logic have hooked anybody, let's be honest, but I mean, I'll explain why it did, but like, what I think is funny is that, you know, you and I, you're dating yourself, I'm gonna date myself too. You got into this kind of college age, right?
Yeah.
I in 93 when I got into it in 2000 or whenever that would have been, 2001, that was my kind of college years. So like, the X-Files kind of defined my college years. Like, I feel like that there were so many, like, it was the first thing I was, like, really obsessed with. It was the first thing I really kind of got into, like, you know, and that was kind of right around when the internet was exploding and people were, I mean, it was starting with earlier, obviously. It started a lot earlier, but it was starting to get really, like, mainstream. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's funny. You said that you even kind of balked at the beginning, like, what is this weird show? I was the same way. One of my college, like, roommates was completely obsessed with it. And I always made fun of him because I'm like, oh, my God, you're such a nerd. The show's so stupid. Like, I'd never seen it before. I just thought it was like, and I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. Like, I love sci-fi. But, like, for some reason, when I think deep down subconsciously, when I know I'm going to like something, I fight against it. Because I, at least especially now in this day and age in my life, I know it's going to take over my life. So I kind of fight against it. Ultimately, David Duchovny just pulled me in. At some point, I just realized David Duchovny was hot. And then it was all over for me. So, when I started.
I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, come on. But yeah, so I didn't start till Dead Alive. So you can imagine how confused I was. Yeah. And that, and you know, going back to the shipper aspect of it, that's, for me, that final scene in that episode was so, it was such a big question mark for me. Because again, imagine, I don't know anything about this show. I don't know why she's pregnant. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who they are. I just know they're FBI partners, but there's something there and I can't figure it out. And I remember that just drawing me in right off the top. And then, you know, to take that directly into three words, my brain was all over the place. I had no idea what to think, but
yeah, anyway, no one did.
Nobody did.
I mean, I'd been watching it for like 7 years at that point, and even I didn't know what to think. So
I know.
I can only imagine. I'm surprised you kept going after that. But, well, you know, the mystery perhaps drew you in.
The mystery did. David Duchovny drew me in, and their relationship drew me in right off the bat, like instantly. And I actually went and like ended up buying all the DVDs and watching all the old episodes kind of while I was working my way through season 8 live, you know. So I was able to see that it used to be really good. So that was helpful. Yeah. But
gave
yeah,
you hope for more to come, which I'm not sure if it was ever fully fulfilled, but still, at least you had the other seasons to watch.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can get into that in a different, different topic. So,
yes.
What were you ever into, Television Without Pity?
Yeah, well, I was, I think it came along, I don't know, was Television Without Pity around when the X-Files was airing? Because I wasn't at the same time that the X-Files was on.
It was around the time I was talking about, like season 8, season 7.
Okay.
And that's kind of when it was starting to be real big.
Oh, yeah.
It used
to
be called Mighty Big TV. That was its first.
Yeah, no, I did not catch on to that. I caught on to TWOP later on with regard to other shows I was watching, like various reality TV shows. But I never caught on to the fact that it was doing X-Files. I think by that time I had kind of like my favorite people online whose reviews I like to read. And I was just sticking to them.
Yeah.
And I was happy with what I had. And I think that I felt like if I started to look a little bit farther afield, I would be overwhelmed by what the internet was.
Yeah, and I think that happens.
Too much.
That happens now. It happens all the time. But yeah, that was where I had my kind of online presence. This was back in the time where there was like active fighting between like the shippers and the No Romos.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Which isn't even like a thing anymore, is it?
Well,
I mean,
think.
If it is, like, these people are in some serious denial, right? I mean, I can get, I can completely understand watching and enjoying this show and really not caring about that aspect of it. Like, I completely get it. But I can't understand at this age, 25 years into this relationship, thinking they should not be a romantic couple. Like, I can't get there. Can't get there.
I think there are some people that think that they would just prefer if they weren't, or preferred if we didn't see that. Or no, I think they actually it's not necessarily that they don't think they're a couple, which back in the day, of course, there was a genuine argument about whether they a couple, should they become a couple, was the biggest argument, because they weren't at that point. But now it's more about like, I wish they weren't a couple, or somehow I'm not interpreting them that way. I don't know. It's a rare opinion these days for sure.
Yeah.
But there's a few people out there. There's still a couple of people that are like, nope, don't want to hear about it.
Here's the thing, and I mean, I'll definitely get into this later when we start talking about, you know, Chris Carter and his relationship with this relationship. But I think if you're going to deprive them of other partners, which, let's be real, they have, you can't expect them to not find that in each other. And that's kind of my biggest argument for it.
Yeah, fair enough. I was talking to my husband about this very subject, actually, a couple weeks ago, and about the no-romos that are still around to this day. And he was saying his take on it was that maybe Chris Carter felt like Mulder and Scully should be like living sort of a monastic life because their full attention should be on the search for truth. And anything that would distract from that, like a relationship, would be unwise and inappropriate. And they should just literally live like the monks who, you know, focused all of their attention on their religious devotion. Right. And it should be the same thing with Mulder and Scully. So that's kind of a possible theory.
Does your husband subscribe to that theory?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I would be like, I don't think he would be married to him any longer if that were the case.
Yeah, and he's a pastor, so he definitely would not be married if he subscribed to that theory. But he just kind of was playing devil's advocate because he does that with me all the time with the X-Files because he knows it gets me going.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I don't even think that that's what Chris wanted. I really don't.
I don't know.
You know what? Let's just talk about it because we're talking about it. I think that... this is not what, like, I don't think that Chris currently, obviously, thinks the relationship is platonic, regardless of the bullshit he says in interviews. He does not think that. And by the way, don't read Chris Carter interviews. Just don't.
Don't. It's bad for your health. Just don't. No, it's bad for everything.
I think what happened was his vision for Mulder and Scully at the beginning of the show, because when you make a show, you have no idea where it's going to go or where it's going to head. I mean, none of them could have anticipated that this show would still be going 25 years later. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to say that he didn't even think that there was a potential for that, because that scene in the pilot where he's looking at her naked back, like, he knew what he was doing when he did that. And that was in the very first episode. Totally. So I don't believe him for a second when he says he believes that they should be a platonic couple. I think what happened was it kind of got out of his control. And I think it was, I'm going to say, I think it was David and Jillian's fault, because I don't think that there was any way of him knowing that these two were going to have this insane sexual chemistry. I don't think that there was any way he was going to know. And the fact that they gave us so little and we were just thirsty for it, it made people want it even more. And so it's like, maybe he even thought that what he was doing was like tampering it, but it was not at all.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think that I totally agree that he had one idea, and I think maybe it's certainly evident in the pilot that there was some sexiness that was at least at the pilot stage meant to be part of the show. But yeah, I agree that I think David and Jillian, as the actors they are, took those characters in a direction that was not necessarily intended. Not intended, I don't think. And I feel like it just became like a runaway carriage that you could not stop those horses once they got going. But I mean, I think Chris Carter tried from time to time. And I think you're right, probably. The less he gave us, the more we wanted. And it was like, I mean, certainly in the early days, you can imagine what it was like. Any tiny little thing became huge. I mean, it still is. It still is, because we still aren't given a whole heck of a lot. So, but especially in the early seasons.
Right.
I mean, there were shippers from the beginning. So we found little tiny things to get us very excited.
It's funny because, you know, you were just talking about the idea of the pilot, even the pilot differing from the rest of season one, because it's like, maybe I would be curious to ask Chris, is like, I wonder if he was pressured to put something like that in the pilot to get it picked up. And then once he had the show, he kind of reined it back a bit, because it definitely was reined back a bit for the rest of the season. Like, we didn't go anywhere close to where the pilot was in terms of that, like, that sexiness. We didn't go anywhere close to that for a while. So
I'm not sure we ever did.
You're right. I mean, as it stands, I'm like, that's like the most naked they've been together.
Yeah,
seriously.
It really is. It's definitely the most naked that Scully's ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look at that pilot now, I'm not crazy about that scene. I know. Oh, good. in a good way, I hope.
Yeah.
When I look at that scene now, it feels a little exploitive to me. Like, it's a little bit like, hey, I mean, there's David Duchovny fully dressed, and there's Julian Anderson with, like, no clothes on, and, like, in her underwear. And it's like, we see a little more of that than is strictly necessary for the scene, I think. It feels a tiny bit exploitive. It feels a little bit like, hey, sexy dame. But it's the last time we do that,
right?
Which I'm thrilled about. I don't think we ever see that much Scully skin again for the whole rest of the series for the next 25 years. Thank goodness.
Well, I would argue that we do, just not with Mulder, unfortunately.
True. Good point.
I think we see a bit in Milagro, and we see a bit in Weremonster. Those are the first two that come to my mind.
True.
And they're both
true,
fantasy sequences, so they don't
count.
But But I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that, like, Chris Carter at this current stage doesn't ship it, right? I think actually he does. I don't think he minds them having a little romance now again. I just think he was trying to do something different, and he doesn't want it to, like, overshadow everything, you know?
Yes.
I would argue it's the most complex male-female relationship we've ever seen on television. And, you know, the romantic sexual aspect of it is almost secondary, you know?
Yes.
And I don't think that's I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, I think what makes me mad is when he makes the active decision to deprive them of romantic love and sex and all the other things that people want elsewhere, which is bad enough. And then pretending that they're not having it in each other was just cruel. And again, that's all from the interviews that I read with him that pissed me off. It's not from what I see on my screen. What I see on my screen is David and Jillian, you know, looking at each other and exploding my television. You know what I mean? That's what I see. And so
kaboom.
That's what I go with.
Well, this is it. I think that most of the, let's call it, Chris Carter rage that exists, especially among shippers, emanates from the interviews that he does.
I agree.
Not from what we actually see.
Oh, I agree.
And Chris Carter's written some very shippy episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And so if we just ignore the crap that he says as some, I don't know what kind of weird diversionary tactic he's got going on, I don't really care. But if we just ignore what he says, and go with what's on the screen, we'll all be much happier.
I agree with you completely. I mean, I can look at every interview he's ever given me, that he's ever instilled rage within me, and I can walk each interview back and be like, okay, this is kind of what he's trying to do here. But why bother? Like, I remember there was a huge uproar after Plus One aired when everyone thought that was it. They're back together. And he made he did an interview. I was like, well, you know, they were turning to each other for comfort. It wasn't necessarily romantic. You know, and he's saying this bullshit that, you know, when you look at the season as a whole and what's coming, it makes total sense because they weren't back together yet. And it makes sense. And I think that the fact that he gave that interview directly after that episode aired and everyone was just so, you know, elated, it brought everybody down and made everyone so mad. Like, why are you still doing this? Why are you still claiming this is platonic? They just had sex. Like, you know, but I mean, when I look at the actual interview and what he was saying, I mean, I get what he was trying to say. He was kind of trying to say, hey, everyone, slow down. We're not there yet. Like, you know. So I mean, I can get it. I just think he says some stupid things in interviews, and that's the main thing that bothers me about him. I mean, I don't really have a problem with 90% of what I'm looking at on my screen. So,
yeah,
I mean,
no, I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a huge percentage. So anyway, we got off a little bit off track here, but we were talking about
was obviously waiting to come out.
It really was. And it needed to come out. I think it did.
It did.
So we were talking about social media. What's your favorite piece of merchandise that you own?
Good question. I have a lot. I was going to say I don't have a lot of X-Files merchandise for some reason. I think it's because it's like what you were talking about, where if you know you're going to like a show, you're kind of resistant at first.
Yeah.
I think I probably felt like if I start buying X-Files stuff, I'll have no money left and my house will be full of X-Files stuff.
Yeah.
So probably, you know what, I'm going to be kind of corny maybe and say my most prized X-Files related possession are my original VHS tapes that I used to tape the X-Files when it was originally on back in the 90s.
And you still, have those?
They're in a box in my basement, X-Files season 3 or whatever it's written on it. And
wow.
There's just, they have sentimental value. I mean, I don't know if my VCR even works anymore. I haven't watched them in a long time. They'd probably fall apart, but
yeah, I was just going to say, who has a VCR anymore?
Yes.
They're just sitting in boxes.
One.
They're there.
I have one. It's barely working. And so those hold a special place in my heart. They always will. So that's kind of when I think about things connected with the X-Files, that's the thing I think about, because that's the thing that holds a place in my heart.
Well, and that's special.
I'm like Mulder in that scene from Forehead Sweat, where he's just surrounded by videotapes. That's me with regards to the X-Files.
Yeah, if you ever realize something's different, they changed it. They must have changed it. You can go back in and be obsessive and find it. That's really cool, though, because it kind of dates like that you actually got that at that time, and it marks a moment. You know,
yeah, it's got all the original ads, as aired in Canada at least. So it's all the original.
Well, that's awesome.
What about you? What have you got for merch? Okay.
Well, I guess technically I have two. I have a Rolling Stone, the Rolling Stone with them in bed, the famous Rolling Stone that literally has like all the autographs on it except David and Jillian. Like I have Chris Carter, I have Mitch Pileggi, I have I have Robert Patrick, like I have everybody, but like I need to get them, and which actually thanks to my buddy Nick, who's hopefully gonna go to the spooky thing in October for me, he can get those signed and then I will have everybody.
Nice.
And then it will finally go in a frame after 20 years or however long it's been.
Wow, that's a project.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. And then my other one, it technically doesn't count as a possession, but my tattoo, of course. That I have that I got this season, like back in January, I got on my back, and it's the X, the Fight the Future X.
I've seen a picture and it's awesome.
Thank you. And I still love it. Still, I mean, it's, I love it so much and it makes me happy.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Thank you. What else do you have on here to talk about? You're not a big fanfic reader or writer.
I'm not. I feel like it makes me possibly a bad X-Files fan, and I feel like it definitely makes me a bad shipper that I'm not really into fanfic. I'm starting to get into it. I'm definitely reading more than I used to. And it's not that I don't like fanfic. I think it's great. I admire fanfic writers immensely. There are some tremendously talented ones out there that are just doing it for the love of the characters and the writing, and I think that's awesome. And I love that people enjoy that. And I think some of them are, you know, real deal impressive writers. Some people out there have really got Mulder and Scully's voice just bang on, possibly better than some of the actual episodes that aired. So I am an admirer of the concept of fanfic. I think the main problem I maybe have with it is just that The X-Files for me is a screen experience. It's something that I watch on TV or in the movies. And I mean, I've never gotten into the graphic novels or any of the novelizations or the audiobooks or anything like that. It's just, I'm very sort of strict about it. It's just like anything else feels a little odd to me.
That's fair.
I'm strictly about TV and movies. And so that's where I'm at with fanfic. But I applaud the fanfic community.
That's cool. You know, it's funny. I when I was in college, when this all started, it's funny. Like, I didn't even know what fanfic was. I know, I'm sure everybody has this experience of discovering their first fanfic and reading it and going, what is this? Because, you know, a lot of it is just smut, let's be real.
It's porn, let's be honest.
You have to just, you know, it's funny because I feel like the X-Files like birthed this whole idea because we weren't getting it, and so people had to put it out there somehow.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was like feeling the sexual chemistry coming off the screen, and it's like, this has got to go somewhere, so it's going onto the page.
It would be like a form of release, I would think.
At
that time. I mean, I wasn't watching it at that time, so I wasn't like aware of the whole waiting. You know, by the time I started to watch, that was already happening.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still can appreciate when I was watching the show going, oh my God, this must have been killing you people. Like, it's like, you know, I get it is my point. I get it. Like, I get all the smut that I see. People have an outlet. They need to get it out there. Yeah.
But some of it's great smut, too.
Right. Oh, and it is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie. I've read plenty of it. But but like you were saying earlier, it's not all just that. Like, I think there are a lot of really great people out there who are doing stuff that is just, you know, it's legitimately just love for the show. I want to do something that's kind of cool, that is like another story, or, you know, something else that's different, that's not going to just be about the smut, and which we have room for both of these things in our lives.
Sure we do. We're well-rounded women.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, but I mean, it is a big part. I think it's a big part of this fandom in yeah. like specifically, and for that reason, definitely worth mentioning.
And a lot of that, I think, also does come from what is missing on the screen. And like you say, certainly the sex stuff is missing on the screen. And there's always gaps in the plot lines and just things we would like to have seen, whether it's sex or just a little romance or just a little bit more exploration of Mulder and Scully relationship. That just like you're dying to fill in the gaps. And so we all tend to do that in our minds anyway. You know, we call it our headcanon. Mm-hmm. And in addition, I mean, I do that as much as anyone, even though I don't write the fanfic down, I still think in my head, okay, how can we get from A to B? Because maybe Chris Carter hasn't quite done that for us.
Right.
Because that's not his style. So we'll do it for ourselves. And I think that's where a lot of fanfic comes from, is the need to fill in those gaps.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I think that that's all, I mean, as frustrating as it can be sometimes, I think that's all by design they're making this show. Like, people give it a lot of crap for, you know, leaving things out or not showing things or leaving things ambiguous. And every time I'm always like, this is the X-Files. Like, you don't know what is truth. You don't know what is fiction. There are things that are left unsaid. Like, that's the point of the show. And no other show does this, like, in the same way that they do it. And I think that's what makes it so special. I mean, this actually rolls us right into the next topic. Why do we love the X-Files? I mean, for me, that mystery, I mean, you know, okay, let's be real. The relationship between Mulder and Scully is primary. That's the best thing about the show. I'm putting it out there. It is. But the mystery of this show and the way it's crafted, I think, is unlike any other show since... either, you know what I mean? Like, and so many shows have derived from this in terms of, you know, the way that it tells a story, the way it lays out, you know, character building. Like, it's pretty amazing how much we got from this show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. Definitely on the same page with you. Mulder and Scully is sort of first and foremost for me in the form that we were given them. You know, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily wish for different. I know some shippers wish for more, but I'm happy with what we got. And makes the X-Files, like you say, it's the ambiguity, it's the subtlety. That's what makes it so intriguing. And I mean, even in those early seasons where we were given very little, you know, a lot of folks, you know, like yourself say, how did you suffer through all of that for all those years? And I always say, it doesn't feel like suffering to me. It didn't ever felt like suffering because... we were just so happy with every little thing we were given. And
you know,
that was enough for us.
I'm joking when I say that,
I know.
But in terms of the slow burn, like, you know what I mean? And I think nobody does the slow burn like Mulder and Scully. Like, nobody.
Yeah. You know? And I loved it. I was happy for the slow burn. Honestly, when we started seeing like actual kisses on screen, it took me aback. I was like, as big a shipper as I was not used to that. I mean, I'd had 7 years of none of that. So
and it's things
I was happy with things being vague.
Yeah, I agree with you too. And I think it's things like that that make me understand in terms of like not feeling like a no Romo would, but in terms of saying this isn't really what this show is. It's not going to be, we're not going to get like a sex scene. We're not going to get that sort of stuff because it's not what the show's about. The focus is on more of the relationship and on less of the physical stuff. And I mean, hey, I'm as much of a, hey, I would love to see them throw down as anybody, but I'm not like sitting over here mad about it because I think I've told myself for years that that's never going to happen because that's just not this show. You know?
No, it seemed weird to me at this point. It would just seem weird.
Yeah, and I mean, what we got in Plus One was more than I ever expected that we would get, and I loved every second of it, so.
Yeah, that was like plenty for me. I was like, holy crow, this is great. I mean, I can quibble some of the fine details that I won't get into just now, but for the most part, I was okay with that, which is not to say also that I don't love the other aspects of the X-Files, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, Mulder and Scully were, you know, they were what drew me in. But, you know, I'm going to say I was very into the mythology because it would not be accurate to say I am at this point. But certainly for the first several seasons, I was very into the mythology. All of the conspiracies, the UFOs, they're all things that really interest me. So I loved all of that. It was the combination of that kind of stuff with the romance, subtle romance stuff.
Yeah.
That's if you'd had one without the other, I'm not sure I would have liked it as much. So it was kind of the two together.
I've written here too that I don't think that Mulder and Scully in any other context would work the same.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
no, exactly.
The two of them against the world. And that's like, that's the most fucking romantic thing I can ever think of. You know what I mean?
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man.
Yes. That's it. That's the heart of the Mulder Scully relationship that always got me. It is that fact that it's them against the world and that they only have each other and that there are, and that the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
And that adds so much, like almost like an operatic scale to their relationship that would never be there otherwise.
Yeah. Agreed. And it wouldn't work. I mean, this is not Ross and Rachel, you know, we're not going to get that kind of stuff out of the show. It's every time people like, you know, complain about, oh, we didn't get this, we didn't get that. And I'm like, you know what? It's like, I just read this randomly popped in my head. I swear to God, I don't even have this written in my notes. But it's like the genie says in Je souhaite, how do you say that? When she's like, I wish I could just live moment to moment and enjoy what we have and not what I don't have. Or she said something like that. You know, it's like, it's a good life lesson. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, especially because we've gotten so little over the years, like you said, take the moments. I mean, the moments that I remember from this show are the really subtle ones. Like, that's what I remember. And I still remember it so many years later, you know?
Yep. I can still remember how I felt the first time I saw a lot of scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's special that we have that. And no other shows really do that. They don't. You know, some point they're going to get the characters together, you know, having sex or kissing or doing whatever. And it's always the same, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, like you say, there's only so many different ways to do that.
Right.
But, you know, The X-Files was its own beast. And as much as we kind of, as shippers, always wanted more, what they gave us obviously was the right thing to give us because it made us very happy and it made us into very big fans. And that probably wouldn't have happened if it had been executed in a different way.
Totally. So... veering off away from the shipper stuff for a minute, would you say that you prefer mythology or standalone eps?
I'm going to give a two-part answer. Mm-hmm. I preferred mythology for a long time, probably up until about season 7 or so. I was very into mythology eps just because I felt like, even though, you know, obviously I was a shipper, so you would think that wouldn't matter that much to me, but it felt like those were the big character episodes as well. So we got really exciting things happening with the mythology. And it just seemed like those were the episodes that important stuff would happen.
Right.
And those were the episodes where it felt like everyone was just giving their all. And I just loved that. The stakes were higher. Exactly. And so I loved that aspect of it. Certainly in like the first two or three seasons, I remember reading on one, someone I can remember all these years later, someone on Usenet one time saying, this was probably around season 5 or 6, we were talking about Paperclip and someone said something like, back when we thought these things would actually matter, because there was a sense that this mythology was actually going somewhere very specific and very soon, and that this was all planned out and that there would be revelations and that they would all start to make sense and it would just kind of get more and more interesting when, in my opinion, it kind of became less and less interesting. So I loved the mythology episodes in the first 7 or so seasons, probably most. Mm-hmm. After that, I probably preferred the standalone episodes just because the mythology just made my head hurt too much and I just lost interest in it. I honestly kind of feel like everyone sort of lost interest in it, including possibly the writers at that point.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're not going to care, I'm not going to care either. And it just seemed like the standalones were still strong. They were consistently strong for the whole series. And I honestly look back on it now and, you know, rewatching all the time and I appreciate the standalone episodes a lot more now from the early seasons than I did at the time. At the time, I kind of felt like, okay, when are we going to get back to the mythology?
Right.
Because, and the mythology episodes almost always coincided with Sweeps Month. And so we always seem to have mythologies like for a season premiere in November, February, and then season finale. And it always felt a bit to me like we were just filling time in between. But I look back on those standalones now and I'm like, no, some of those are awesome. A lot of those are my favorite episodes now. So I don't think I fully appreciated them at the time.
Yeah.
That's my super long answer to mythology versus standalone episodes. What about you?
Well, that's interesting. It's funny. It's interesting you say that because I'm of the rare camp. Like, I definitely think the mythology stopped interesting me at a certain point, but I'm one of the rare people that would say, you know, I do think it does make sense. I do think most of it makes sense. I think a vast majority, like a lot of the stuff that happened in season 2, season 3 apply today. So I don't think that when people kind of shrug that off and say, none of it mattered, I don't think that's true. Like, I really think that it's like Scully says, the answers are there. You just have to know where to look. I really think that that's true with this mythology. I just think that the problem was that it kind of, like, it wrapped up in season 6. And I thought that the way it wrapped up in season 6 was actually pretty cool. But, you know, it left the door open because Smoking Man was still alive, or at least we thought he probably was. And we were like, okay, well, we're going to kind of end this and then start kind of a new thing, because this is getting a little stale, you know. But they still had to harken back to all of that stuff because it was stuff that happened to our characters. Mm-hmm. So I think that they made a good decision doing that. I just think at that point after season 6 is kind of where I lost interest in terms of when I'm watching the show through, and it's when the mythology kind of got a little off the walls and a little less interesting. And I still will say that when we know the mythology has always directly influenced Mulder and Scully, and obviously from way, way, way early when Scully got abducted, it's directly affected them. But I think when the show kind of became about that, which I would say is what happened, like when Duchovny left and it was season 8, and then it was about that. Kind of when it started to go off the rails, because I don't think it works in that format. Like, I feel like Mulder and Scully carry us through this story, but when it's actually like happening to them every single week, it's like it's too much. It's too much. I've said this before, that I think that at a certain point it was too much. Like, it was almost too much emotionally for me to handle, because like it was always bad stuff. Like, it was always bad stuff happening to them over and over and over. And I'm just like, how many times can you batter these characters? Like, can we just go back to the days when they had some mythology stuff and then they worked some fun cases and had normal lives, and then they dealt with mythology, and it wasn't like that. It just felt like week after week after week, it was just a nightmare, like a never ending nightmare. Which, I love drama, I love angst, I love all that, but you need a break, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, and again, this, sorry, long answer. For me, that's kind of why the mythology fell apart for me. Overall, I would probably say I prefer Monster of the Week, just because all of my favorite episodes are Monster of the Week. Like, I think I have one mythology one on there. And it's not really fair, though, because, you know, those are standalones. So it's hard to pick a mythology episode that, you know, is self-contained, because that's really not a thing. You know, with the exception of Fight the Future, which is kind of self-contained, I guess, a little bit, but...
Fair points. I differ a little bit in that I can see what you mean, especially about season 8, and we can get into season 8 in great detail another time, I'm sure. It's pretty relentless. I just rewatched it a couple months ago for the first time in a very long time, and it's pretty relentless in its kind of drama. But I kind of loved that. It was a little too much maybe in season 8, because it was kind of by necessity a grim season, because we couldn't really have a whole lot of happy while Mulder's missing. But I do like the angsty stuff. So you can have, probably my limit would be like 80% dramatic, angsty, terrible things happening, and 20% happy things happening, and I would be fine with that.
Okay.
But I have a very high angst tolerance.
I love angst too. I actually prefer, like, I don't know, I prefer reading angst, if that makes any sense. Maybe because I can handle it, like I can put it down if I have to. Like, I get really, really emotional. Like, I get really worked up when I watch movies and TV, because it's just coming at me at a speed I can't handle. And I could turn it off, I guess, but, you know, I'm not going to do that. But I would put mine more at like 60-40. I think 60 is probably my threshold. And season 8 in and of itself was 90-10. you know?
Yeah.
If that,
I'd go maybe 95.5 probably.
Oh
yeah.
My Lord.
I can definitely see your point. I don't know what it is about angst, but it's like, I just let it wash over me. I can't get enough of it because it's like, it's not happening to me.
Right.
So there's something about that even though I care about these characters, I can't explain it. I know they're there for each other and that they will support each other. I did find season 8 particularly hard because Mulder wasn't
not.
There for Scully.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why season 8 was particularly difficult. But when they're together, it's like, yes, terrible things are happening, but they're there for each other. And somehow that makes it okay for me.
It makes it okay for me most of the time, I will say.
Fair enough.
I mean, and I think that's why I really hated season 10 because I felt like, there was so much bad stuff going on and they were not really... Mm. Where they needed to be, and they didn't seem like the characters that I used to love because of that. Yeah. Like because I love them when they're together. Not even like romantically. Like I don't even need that. They need to be in the same scene. Like they need to be interacting, and they need to be partners and friendly and working together and doing their thing. And like that wasn't happening. And I don't know whose bright idea that was to do that. But I mean, I understand the breakup. We can get into another conversation about the breakup. At another day. I understand why they did the breakup. And I'm actually completely fine with the breakup. I just wish it didn't take so damn long for them to get back together. That was probably my biggest beef with the revival. But, it is what it is.
Yeah, totally agree. I totally agree with that. That was definitely a weakness of season 10. And that's why one of the reasons why season 11 was so much better.
Yeah. What would you say is your favorite season?
I'm going to have to pick one from the first 5 seasons just because... the Vancouver seasons, I think, were the best. Those were the X-Files. When it moved to LA, I was kind of like, I took the whole thing rather personally for some reason. And I don't know if it's because I'm a Canadian and it's like, well, Vancouver, not good enough for you anymore, I guess. But I just love the look that Vancouver brought to the X-Files. The sort of lush green, foggy woods is the X-Files to me. And you cannot quite recreate that anywhere else. So I'm going to pick one of those seasons, and I'm probably going to go with season 4 just because there's a lot of really strong episodes in season 4, but there's also I do like the cancer arc because angst aplenty.
We have angst with support in that, exactly,
so that's the best kind of angst. So it's got that up the yin yang, and there's lots of other really strong episodes in season 4 too. Season 3 is a really great episode, but season 4 takes it by just a nose for me because I like any kind of like ongoing story arc when they do that. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons that I actually kind of like season 8 now is that it's the length of the story arc, and I like that they did that with the cancer arc, and I like that they didn't totally forget about it between the sort of main episodes where it was addressed.
Right.
So we had, the episode, between Memento Mori and, Gethsemane at the end of the season, it does still occasionally come up in the other episodes. So it's a remarkable amount of continuity for the X-Files in terms of what's going on behind the scenes of what's going on in that particular storyline. The fact that we can remember, Scully has cancer. I don't know. I just kind of like the fact that at least we didn't forget that. And so I just like that kind of an interesting arc. And it was interesting. And Gillian Anderson was phenomenal. And so was David Duchovny. So I got to go with 4. So what about you? What's your fave?
Well, 4 would definitely be like my second.
Okay.
But I'm going to go off the reservation and you're not going to like my pick because my favorite season, no question, my favorite is season 6.
Fair enough.
And this is coming from somebody who loves Monster of the Weeks. Like literally, if you're looking at the list of episodes in this season, like all the Monster of the Weeks, like almost all of them were great.
I can't disagree with you.
And yeah, and I mean I really do like how they wrapped up the mythology, in Two Fathers, One Son, and not to mention I'll say the UST, the unresolved sexual tension, was at full mast, and we had some of the best, shippy MSR moments that we have ever gotten on the show was in season 6. I'm just amazed when I'm looking at my list of favorite episodes, how many are on season 6. So I have to pick it. But season 4 is a great pick. That would definitely be my next favorite.
And season six, you know what? I kind of underrated season six for a long time because I had this whole kind of like chip on my shoulder about, oh, L.A.? I don't think so. but I must say I've kind of rethought it in the last little while. I just kind of, without intending to, wound up almost doing a full season six rewatch in completely random order because – it just turned out that every time I felt like watching an X-Files episode, it just happened to be from season six because there are a lot of strong episodes. And I underestimated them and the season while it was on, but I kind of get it now. So I applaud your choice.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Well, the last thing we can talk about in this episode before moving on to our, you know, all of our info and stuff was, you know, this is a hard question to answer, but if you had to pick... who would be your favorite, Mulder or Scully?
Oh, now it's not that hard for me, actually. Oh. I would say Scully every time for me. Scully is my gal. And I just happened to say just on Twitter recently that if Scully's not in a scene, my interest level goes down by 60% because I'm always watching her. She's not always the person doing the most in the scene. You know, Mulder is kind of the guy who's doing the most. He's got the most to do. He's in some ways the most interesting character, but Scully's always doing something interesting, and I just always want to know what she's doing, and a scene with just Scully is still fine with me. Even if Mulder's not there, I obviously prefer them together, but Scully, I just think she's so kick-ass and so awesome and so interesting, and Gillian Anderson just brings so much interest to that role in terms of she's tough, she's kick-ass, but she's also got a certain vulnerability and she's still really smart and she's tiny, but she's tough. So yeah. I'm Scully all the way.
All right. So it wasn't hard for you.
No. What about you?
This is really hard for me. It's like picking between my parents. I love my parents. it was hard for me. I mean, honestly, if season 11 didn't exist, I think it would be much easier for me to pick Scully. But but Mulder, I gotta go with Mulder. I do. I love Mulder so much. I think with all of his flaws, and he has many, I just love him. And season 11 more, or season 11 Mulder was just a gift. And I love that they actually said, hey, this character actually needs to grow. Let's do that. You know, I applaud them for doing that. And I applaud David for acknowledging that they did that. And I, even though, you know, I can admit he was an asshole a lot of the time. I don't like how he's always ditching Scully and he's doing. But I mean, you have to take all of that with the entire arc of his character and the growth. And I agree with you, too. Given my druthers, I would probably prefer to watch a scene with just Scully than just Mulder, because I feel like all the scenes that they got, like, hers were more interesting, I would say. Yeah. Like, I would prefer to watch a scene that's just, like the season 8 and 9. I'm really glad that Scully was the one who was left behind and not Mulder, because I do feel I do feel like that would have, that it would have not been as interesting if I was just watching Mulder. And because I think in the end, I think Scully might be the more complex, well-rounded character, but I think that because of season 11, and again, let's take out season 11 out of the equation. I may not have this answer, but given that growth, given that depth of his character that they were able to do, you know, got to go with Mulder all the way. He actually, you know, Duchovny drew me to the show. So, I mean, I feel like he would come and actually find me and murder me if I said Scully. So
that's fair enough. You know what? Yeah. If I look at just season 11 by itself, I'd probably have to agree with you and go Mulder, because David Duchovny did amazing stuff in season 11, and the character was really interesting and well played. And I got to kind of agree that I think Mulder was maybe a little bit more interesting to me in season 11 than Scully was. Sorry, Scully.
Yeah, it's okay.
I still love you, Scully. Well, Scully, I love you both.
We love them both. Scully had already achieved kind of the growth that she needed. She was just kind of she was just kind of being stubborn, you know? So I didn't feel like she really had far to go. Whereas I think in terms of all the story we were given and all the backstory of what happened with them, that we needed to see Mulder get there. And he did. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
That was harder than balls, I gotta say. It was hard.
It is hard.
It's hard.
But yeah, no, we can definitely talk a lot about season 11 again in the future.
Yeah.
There's lots to talk about with season 11. I have many strong opinions.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's talk about that next week. We're probably next week going to talk about, it's going to be a bit of an MSR extravaganza. So, you know, if that's not your thing, like I said, maybe skip next week and come back. But as you've probably noticed from this entire episode, you're going to be getting that pretty hardcore with us all the time. So, there it is. We are going to be counting down our top 15 MSR moments of the entire series, which was so hard to do. It was even harder than having to pick between Mulder and Scully, let me tell you.
Yeah, it was.
Some other topics that we were thinking of doing down the road are... Wait, what? Go ahead. Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Nope.
Chris Carter and his relationship to the show, to MSR in particular. The evolution of Mulder and Scully, we were thinking about talking about. Mm-hmm. Season 11 and its connection with the current political climate, we were thinking of discussing. Music, Mark Snow, and even the non-Mark Snow music. We have a lot of cool ideas. Well, we want to hear from you guys, too. If you have any ideas for stuff you want to hear us talk about or anything like that, go ahead and give out your Twitter, Jen.
Oh, I am on Twitter at... Gen X File. That's JenNxPhile. And I love X Files Twitter. And please come and join me. And we can talk X Files literally 24 hours a day because I am sometimes on Twitter 24 hours a day.
And
so,
we do.
And we do. And there's always someone there to talk about the X Files no matter what hour of the day it is. So look forward to meeting you on Twitter.
And I'm X Files Diaries on Twitter. And it's got to tell you, X Files Twitter has been my favorite thing of the year so far. It's been like...
Yeah, I agree.
It's so nice to have found a place where there are people like as obsessed as me.
Yeah, me too.
My husband loves me and tolerates me, but he can only put up with so much. So...
I know, totally. Yeah, my husband just kind of nods and says he pretends to be interested and he does his very best, just like I do when he's talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, there you go. We've all got our something.
We've all got our somethings, but yeah, there's nothing like finding your people and being able just to talk about the little tiny things that you didn't think anyone else cared about, but they all do.
Yeah.
So it's
and
awesome.
They get
I just started that Twitter account in February, partway through season 11. All of a sudden, I felt moved to join X-Files Twitter, and that was like the best decision I've ever made social media-wise. Maybe the best decision I've made this year, period.
Yeah.
Because it is a fun place to be, and I've really, it's just, again, just like Usenet did back in the day, it's kind of taken my fandom to that level again, where I'm just enjoying it in every respect.
Oh, totally. That was right around when I joined, too. And I was just like, what is this nirvana where people are talking about X-Files all the time? No, it was amazing. I quit everything else because of the political climate. I couldn't take it anymore. So I quit everything. And my only social media outlet right now is X-Files Twitter, which is exactly how I like it. So
that's pretty much what I'm doing, too, just because it's just so much more interesting than anything else.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes, talk to us.
Talk to us on Twitter, and we will be back with you next week for episode 2, the MSR extravaganza. Thanks. I didn't think of any kind of cool outro to do.
That's all right.
The truth is in the MSR.
I like it.
All right. Bye, guys.